Begin this new series with track one. Yeah, let's be creative.
Yeah.
Part one, track one, Hear My Cry.
Hear My Cry.
You heard the song by Fred Hammond. Fred Hammond is one of my favorite gospel artists. To me, hands down, quite possibly one of the great musicians, singers, songwriters that gospel music has. And this song has a great deal of meaning to me.
All right now.
Well, let me tell you a story.
All right.
Because you know me, I got a million of them. And this is the message we've started, so let me tell you the story.
Yes, sir.
I've had some dark places in my life, some dark moments in my life. And as of recently, I decided to be a lot more open about those things.
Yes, sir.
I've written a book, and most recently, this past week, I wrote a blog post, which has been viewed multiple times. About at least one time that I was in a very dark place. And when I reflect on those times, I remember how my mind was and my thought pattern. And my thought pattern was there was nobody to hear me. Have you ever been there? Ain't nobody listening to nothing you saying. People say, talk to me, and you talking to them. And they hear absolutely nothing you're saying. What do you mean, Reverend? They ain't hearing nothing. Well, there are people that will listen to your words and miss the whole point. There are people that mean well and have great intentions, but they miss it. And then by the time you reach a point where it seems like there's nothing else you can do, they wonder why you're acting the way you're acting. They wonder why you feel the way you feel. Some people that mean well will tell you that you're being dramatic. And you're going through internal pain. You're going through stuff that you have never, ever dealt with before, or at least it feels that way. You're trying to understand, why do I feel like this? I love God. I'm saved. I go to church. I serve God. I do all this stuff. This ain't supposed to be me. Then one day, you're sitting by yourself, and it's you and every thought that tells you that you should not even exist. The only thing you can do is cry, because deep down, you know what you're hearing ain't true. But what you're feeling is trying to tell you otherwise. What a conundrum. What a struggle. And it doesn't have to be a mental health crisis for you to feel by yourself. People go places all the time, and they're in crowds of thousands, and they feel all by themselves. You bumping into people, and you don't even waste your time getting mad that they bumped into you, because you just feel that alone. But then in the last ditch effort, you say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know what you're going to do, but I ain't got much left. So I'm calling on you to do something that I can't.
Yes, yes.
This ain't gonna be, I don't think this is gonna be long, because my job today is to set some of y'all free for once. Because there's some people in here that have been living their entire lives crying on the inside in turmoil. And because you show up around a bunch of people like us, you want to try to fool us and say, you don't feel no pain. Nah. So let me continue. I heard this song and I wept. I was working at a rib joint and I heard the song. It was run by a family friend of ours. And, you know, only Christian music. You can't listen to a whole bunch of stuff. That's all you could listen to in the back. And one day, I was just coming into work and I'm listening to this song. And I'm crying all over my car before I even got in the place of work. Because I was so messed up at that time. Because life was hitting me in a way that I did not understand. That I was like, look, all I got left are my tears. All I got left are my tears. Lord, I love you. You saved my life. I trust you. But right now, none of this makes any sense. None of it makes sense. Now, that was 10 years ago. But I've dealt with changes. I got married. Now I have a son. I've dealt with people that have been horrible to me. I'm not up here to talk about myself. I'm telling a story.
Tell the story. That's right. Testify. Be a witness.
And I mean absolutely horrible. And the reason I'm telling my story is because you won't tell yours, so let me tell mine so you feel better. I have dealt with people that have been absolutely horrible.
Yes, sir.
Because they didn't understand that the way that I walk with God is very different than what a lot of people have been taught. That our relationship with God is personal. It's not impersonal, it's personal. You need to be able to know that you serve a God that cares about your feelings. You need to know that you serve a God that actually cares about the things that breaks your heart. Because the things that break your heart breaks God's heart too.
Amen. Amen.
We don't serve a God that is so beyond us that that God is not touched by what we feel. That's actually Bible. We don't serve a high priest who has not been touched with the things that we've been touched with. So Christ already knows. God knows what we go through. So you need to know you serve a God that understands. And at different moments in my life, the only thing that saved my sanity was the promise of God that I'll never leave you, that I won't forsake you, that I will provide a way of escape. Even down to the wire, when no hope was coming, when it was time to call my life an end. And nobody wants to hear this today, and that's fine, but other people have been here. When you were ready to end it all, and just in the nick of time, God sends somebody to say, are you okay?
Hallelujah.
Because you cried out to a God that cares. How does all this deal with gratitude? I'm grateful that God cares enough about me to meet me at any given point. Let me prove the biblical side of that. We read an entire psalm, but that's not there's only three verses really that matter. Because all the stuff before is the writer talking. The writer's talking about what God will do. Listen, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, the writer, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and deadly pestilence. And it goes on and on and on and on. But then there's only three verses where the writer makes the song sound like God. And these are the three verses that matter for our consideration. 14 through 16. Because he holds me fast and holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. God is saying, I was already prepared to do all the things that the writer talked about, but I move quicker because you hold to me. You might have missed that. God is always ready to help, but sometimes we're not always in a position to hold on to the one that's going to help us. The struggle that people have is how they perceive God. A lot of people perceive God as this omnipotent monarch that is untouchable. That God is so beyond that we cannot embrace. That's not true. When I gave my life to Christ over 20 years ago, I leaned on the fact that somehow God was going to show me that he was always present. Why? Because for me, I needed what people talked about. And yes, I understand. And before anybody goes off, I understand that you cannot assign gender to God. But your idea and understanding of God is based upon, in many instances, your situation. So I needed a father who would approve of me.
Yes, come on now.
I needed somebody who was going to look at me and say, you're all right.
Yes. Yes.
So I came to the Lord out of the love that God already demonstrated towards me. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Hell did not scare me to God. God's love compelled me towards him. And not going to hell is a bonus.
Amen.
Y'all missed that too. That's okay. Move on. I needed somebody in this universe to look at me and say, Charles, you're just fine.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing about you that is awkward. I don't care what people say about you. I made you fearfully and wonderfully. Y'all, okay. I needed somebody to look at me and say, that as you grow, you will become all that you are meant to be because I already put destiny in you.
Yes, yes.
And no matter what,
yes, no matter what,
you're going to make it.
Hallelujah.
You're going to survive.
Hallelujah.
You're going to overcome.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be better than what people have already tried to say you're not going to be.
Hallelujah.
And for over 20 years, that has been the benchmark. What did God say about me? So let me get back up. Okay, let me stop talking about myself and let me interject and put you in it. Maybe your journey with God began similar to mine. You needed somebody to just tell you that you were all right. That you were created in the image and likeness of God. That your gifts have something important to give to the world. That your personality is not an awkward personality, but it's something that brings seasoning to your environment. You needed somebody in this universe to look upon your life and say, you know what? I don't care what anybody else has ever told them, you are all right with me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the God I serve.
Yes.
That God has kept me even when I began to doubt what God said about me. And as long as I was able to hold on to the Lord, I was able to make it. I was able to make it not because of anything I've done, not because of degrees I've obtained, not because I'm smart and intelligent, not because I got it all together, but because I was able to hold on to the Lord's unchanging hand. Is there anybody in here that's got a simple testimony that goes like that? That you're grateful that God will just hear you. That sometimes when your phone don't work, when folk don't pick up the line, when people are not coming to your aid, when people call you crazy, when they look at you funny, when they think you're being dramatic, God says you're not dramatic, you're my child, you're not out of sorts, you are the one that I made. I know what I did for you, I know how I designed you, you're all right with me, and if you hold on to me, I got some things in store for you. When you cry out to God in your struggle, when you cry out to God in your pain, when you cry out to God when you're going through all those different things, God shows up in ways that you cannot even begin to describe. God has a response to your cry. And the first response is, there's unlimited protection. I will give my angels charge over you. I will send them on my behalf to protect you. You dwelling in me, right? You're holding fast to me. The writer says, the ones that dwell in the secret place shall abide. Okay, you have come into shelter. But when you take up residence, there's a difference. Shelter is temporary. Okay? When you have a picnic in the park, you have it under a shelter. The shelter is there to cover you from the elements in order that you might have the picnic.
Hallelujah.
And have the picnic in comfort. It is not set up for you to stay there for the rest of your life. It is set up that you might be able to do what you do for a moment. But when God says that you're dwelling with me, you hold me fast. And the writer says, the ones that dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you're in the shelter of the Most High. Once you know that the Most High is there, you set up residence. To set up residence means that you have permanently made this place your address. You ain't going nowhere. You ain't moving. This is where you have set up shop to stay. So when anything is trying to come to you in the place of your residence, you already have somebody that's already going to protect you from that which will try to attack your life. There are things that have come along that have tried to tell you, you haven't changed, you haven't grown up, you have not come out, you are still like you've always been, you have not changed. But the Lord will raise up a moment and cause security to come in and say, this is my child. They are not what they used to be. They are more than a conqueror. They are not broken. They're not bowed down. They're not busted. They're not disgusted. Because in me, there is joy. In me, there's peace. In me, there is provision. In me, there's everything. And no matter what you do, you can't touch them. All right? You don't believe that? Well, the Bible says. The Bible teaches us, you know, in Isaiah, no weapon, another friend in the song, that's actually gospel, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. So if you're already in the Lord, you have already gained an inheritance that says that you will be protected from danger, seen and unseen, from mouths open and shut, from opinions that just don't matter. Protection. It's not conditional, it's unlimited. Number two, there's unrestricted acceptance. See, here's the issue that most people have that messes people up on their way to encountering God. This is what messes them up. People tell them this lie. You gotta come a certain way. How do people get told that? They're told that about their dress, about their appearance, about their current lifestyle choices, about all kind of stuff. They're blocked at the door. And when I say at the door, I ain't talking about the church house door. I'm just talking about access to those that are called the church. First thing happens, you condemning folk to hell before they get a shot. God's arms are open wide, but there you are, like a jealous 2-year-old, saying you can't sit on my daddy's lap. Trying to tell folk that they can. Remember when Jesus was dealing with his disciples? His disciples meant well, but they was confused. They were confused at times. They were confused at times. And they say stuff like, you know, here come the kids, and they come into Jesus. They like, there's Jesus, and here they come. And what do these grown people decide to do? Hey! Sit down some way. You ain't got no time for all this. And Jesus, ever the smooth cat that he is, looks at his followers and tells them in no uncertain terms, if you don't get out of the way of these kids, go on somewhere. Because they have access to me too. If you had faith like this kid, you might understand the kingdom. If you had the passion that this kid has coming to me, you might actually get it. And God comes back and teaches us again. The ones that hold me fast, I am obligated by their love to me to show my love to them. You could be an accessory to a spiritual crime by blocking someone's opportunity to experience God genuinely. Because as God is doing this, sometimes we get in the way and do this. But part of that is because we forget that we were the ones that God called in like this. And we started losing our sense of gratitude for God saying, come unto me. All those who are weary, heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Don't forget what the Lord has done for you. That should be at the forefront of your mind every single day you wake up. Even when you're struggling, it should come back to your mind. And look, review the ugly story you don't want to tell nobody. You know, some of us are good at revisionist history, ain't we? If you ever want to hear revisionist history, you don't even need to worry about listening to politicians. Just go to church. Just go to church and sit down with some folk, you know? Just sit down with them a little bit. Let me like, You know, how did you get here? How'd you get here? And they'll tell you, well, my mama brought me to church every Sunday. Yeah. And we had to sit on the front row near the mourner's bench. And we just tarried until God showed up. Or you might hear the same church every Sunday story, but they'd be like, you know, we just kept on coming until it just stuck. Yeah. Or you hear the other story. I've been with Jesus all my life. Lying from the pits of hell. Knowing good and doggone well, you just left the club 2 weeks ago. Convenient spiritual amnesia is worse than any disease that can ever get in your body. Because, listen, don't miss this. Because you'll begin to think that you have come so far that God is already finished with you and there's nothing else need to be done. No, you ain't made it yet. And if we're going to tell the whole truth, you might need to go back and assess if the Lord really going to let you in. Sometimes I actually have to ask God, am I really going to make it in? I'm confident, but there's some days I wonder, am I going to smell like smoke? So, Lord, just in case, help me. Help me never to forget the dark moments. Not because I want to go back, but help me never to forget them, because when I see somebody that just wants to be close to the Lord, help me to be a conduit that says, you need to come on in so you can make this your dwelling place. Because the Lord loves you more than you know. Last thing and I'm through. There is an unrestrained love that comes from God. I want you to imagine this for me for a minute. Think about how much love it takes to block anything that would come to you. I say all the time, I'd die for my family. I'd cover them if it came down to it. There'd be no way. If someone got to go, it's me. It ain't them. That's for two people. I don't know about too many other folk, but that's two people. Right? Marissa and Charles Jeremiah, there's two people. I question if I would do the same for anybody else. But you got somebody that loved humanity in such a way that even when humanity messed up, God always was already working a game plan to bring it all back. Do you know, think about this. If human history, according to creationist theory, the creation theory, is only about 6,000, 7,000 years, and we mark time according to Jesus, you know, BC, AD, you mean to tell me that God invested over 4,000 years of time to orchestrate salvation to come through a virgin and being protected by a conflicted man that could have divorced this woman, which would have caused her to be killed according to the law, just to go through something so horrific to get me out of a mess, that wasn't even thought of until I came into the world in 1981?
Well,
I want you to think about that.
Yes.
God invested 5,981 years prior to my arrival to make sure that when I came, that within 11 years of my earthly walk, I had a shot by choice. I want you to think about that. God invested so much to make sure that the prize creation was intact. That's love that you can't even begin to fathom. You can't. I thought enough about you to make sure that you were okay before you knew you needed to be okay. Yeah, dwell on that for a minute. God took out, in essence, much like when I was born, my folks took out insurance policies on my life before I came into the world. And it's paid off that I've lived and we haven't had to worry about nothing, but it's already set aside in case stuff happens. God already set it up before you even came so that you would have opportunity to experience a love that is unreal. So people are not feeling you at times. So people come along and think that you're not this and not that. God thinks you're great.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.
God thinks you're worth it.
Hallelujah.
And all God wants to know is, will you just talk to me? If you talk to me, guess what? If you hold on to me, I'll answer you. And guess what? When you grab on to me, I'll be with you in trouble. I'll be with you when the good times come. I'll be with you when the dark times come. I'll give you a way of escape when you don't think there's a way out. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So hear my cry. Attend to my earnest prayer. Rescue me, Lord Jesus, and take away my every fear. Lord, don't let me stay in this spot. Hear me when I call. My child, because you love me and you hold on to me, because you hold on to me in love, I'll deliver you. I'll protect you. Not because you just run to me out of some kind of quick habit, but because you know my name. And guess what? I'll be with you in trouble. I'll be with you in the midst of your pain. I'll rescue you. I'll honor who you are because you're in my image. I'll give you the life you've always wanted. And I'm going to show you the power of my salvation.